Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kick off NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Join today. Get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed. All you got to do is place your first $5 bet. Sign up with promo code 2400 to get in on the action, and then you can turn game day into payday all season long. And the best part, take that $150 in free bets. There's big games every weekend, ones you'll have big opinions on, and you can get on your way. Play your way. Bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You name it. FanDuel's got more markets than anybody. You can even combine your bets for a chance of a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code 2400. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and up in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
In this town, there is no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Leiter.
It's always game day in Cleveland, brought to you locally by Smiley One Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Bryant and Smiley One, the right choice for your comfort. Comfort is an interesting word in Northeast Ohio as we go through the aftermath of the Jets game and look forward to the Steelers game on Thursday night, because I don't think anybody's feeling too comfortable right now. The players, the fans, management, everybody, when it's concerning your Cleveland Browns after a horrific 31-30 loss where they melted down in the final 2 minutes. My name is Andy Baskin. His is Daryl Ryder. Daryl, you were in Berea for most of the day. I was listening to fans for most of the day. Give me your reflection of the day after.
I will probably say my day probably went better than yours.
And I'll read some tweets to you if you want to see. I got one in particular. I'll read it to you a little bit later in the show because I would never waste my time doing this on the air. But since it's a podcast and we like to give people behind-the-scenes looks, I'll read it on the podcast.
And we are going to get into Twitter beefs later in the podcast too.
I'll hold it for then. I will hold it for then.
Denzel Ward had to set someone straight on Twitter. But yeah, I mean, look, it was a Zoom day for us. Browns did a walkthrough today. Or Monday, I should say, depending when you're listening to this podcast. And the mood is exactly what you'd expect to be. It is one of frustration. It is one of disappointment. It is one of doing everything and anything not to assign any blame or point any fingers. Everyone's trying to speak in generalities with what happened in the, I guess, twice in a two-decade meltdown for the Cleveland Browns, since they are the, as we talked about on the last podcast, they are the last team to do this most recently. And that was back in 2001, week 9 in Chicago. So yeah, tough day. Let's get right into it with some post sleep on it reaction, starting with Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, I mean, they all sting. It's not fun, you know. So we're, you know, it's a challenge in this business. You know where you stand. It's the beauty of this business. It's very black and white. It's win and loss. But they're hard. They're hard. They hurt. And I think it's just so important because of that. You got to real fast turn the page. Doesn't mean you don't own it. Doesn't mean you don't make corrections, but you better turn the page.
And, you know, that's what the Browns are going to attempt to do this week, Andy. And it's almost a blessing that they play Thursday night.
Daryl, am I hearing Kevin Shermer or Pat Stefanski? Because they sound exactly the same.
Well, let's see here.
I'm asking you. I mean, look, I like Kevin. I think Kevin's – and by the way, I thought Pat was a good coach too. But I just feel like when I listen to these press conferences, I've just gone back in time.
Yeah, I know. And so here's –
am I wrong? Am I alone in that?
No, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. We're in agreement. More evidence in the form of Kev.
Obviously, that's a tough one, tough pill to swallow yesterday with that game, the frustration – is very, very real when you have a game that you feel like you can close out and we didn't. So that's the frustration and that's the disappointment.
Yeah. I mean, it's just,
hear it in his voice.
Yeah. They just sound, I don't know if it's media training or what, but they just kind of, it's like I close my eyes and I hear the same guy twice. I do like both coaches. I just don't, I mean, okay, yeah. I get it. We fought our fannies off, right? Isn't that the famous line? I mean, it's like it feels the same. I don't know. Give me more aftermath from there because it doesn't. I mean, obviously you're a head coach and you cannot sound like the fans or you're not in control. But man, I got to tell you, the fans were on him hard on the radio, hard, and he wasn't the only one.
As was I.
Yeah. Oh, this is true. Yeah, I did say on the radio, so you're a part of that.
And this podcast, Denzel Ward, at the center of some of the consternation of what took place Sunday afternoon at First Energy Stadium. I am not a football coach. I'm not in the room. I don't know what defensive assignments are, so I will not be pointing fingers at anyone specifically because, quite frankly, I don't think it's fair. He obviously, because he's in the secondary, I feel like gets some of the blame, as does Grant Delpit, who we're going to hear from in this podcast as well. That whole secondary, I think, you know, deserves blame. I don't know what the responsibilities are. They were reluctant to discuss that. But here's Denzel in regards to the mood the day after.
Guys should be frustrated. I mean, it's a tough loss. I mean, we're in position to win the game, and we just got to find a way to finish and play a full 60-minute game. So, just got to use that as fire and come back, focus this next week, fix those corrections, and try to find a way to get a win.
Daryl, I think part of this is that, you know, like I heard a phone call today from a guy who said, I played high school football, I play touch football now. And when it comes to the defense and what happened at the end of the game, I think anyone that's ever stepped on a field and has played defense, especially on the secondary, there's a high school kid sitting in the room while I'm here. I'm going to ask him the question and see if he answers the question from the distance. If you're a defensive back, what's the number one rule? He said, don't let anybody behind you.
100%.
Ah, how about that?
You know, and this is, I wrote this too, Monday afternoon. The frustrating part of everything.
Wait, he's also saying, make sure you know the coverage too. Okay, go ahead. Never mind. Sorry.
This is what I wrote. Kevin Stefanski, his staff, and the Browns failed at basic football stuff. It takes zero coaching acumen to understand. And that ultimately led to another what the hell just happened moment in Browns history. My litmus test, Andy, is always if Daryl knows, you should definitely know. And so that is
fair enough. I agree with that.
That is a pretty low bar. Like that is the lowest rung on that ladder bar. Okay. So I know that when you have the football and you are leading and driving on an opponent, the last thing you do is run a play near the boundary where you could get knocked out of bounds. You need to remain in bounds and keep the clock moving and or force your opponents to use their timeouts, okay? Rule number one, violated by Kareem Hunt. Not intentionally, but it just again, just things that shouldn't happen, right? Conversely, right. Defensively, you know, we're all caught up in those blown coverage plays, and I get it because touchdowns were scored on those and ultimately led to them losing the game. But in between those, especially on that final drive, another rule in the final 2 minutes is you protect the boundaries at all costs. You do not allow your opponent to get out of bounds under any circumstances, especially when they have no timeouts. You want to keep that clock moving. Hey, give them that. It's the old prevent defense, right? We'll give you those 5 and 10 yard dink and dunks, but your butt is going to get tackled in bounds and that clock is going to keep moving and you're going to have to scramble to the line and either kill the clock or run a play. And on 3 separate occasions, the final drive, guess what the Browns did? Either shoved them out of bounds or allowed the Jets to walk out of bounds to stop the clock. So again, little attention to detail points that all conspire to, you know, that type of collapse. And it leads to responses like this from safety Grant Delpit.
I'm not going to play the bland game with my teammates, so I'm just leaving that. It's a communication error.
And by the way, by the way,
soundbite.
I think this is going to become a thing on the podcast here, Andy.
Okay.
Our cut of the day, our bite of the day, our comment of the day, whatever.
Communication error. Communication error.
Hey, Grant Delpit, do you prefer ketchup or mustard on your hot dog?
Communication error.
Grant Delpit, do you prefer the brown tops, white bottoms, all white, or white and brown bottoms?
Communication error.
Hey, Grant, your thoughts on Brownie the Elf at the 50?
I'm not going to play the communication error.
You got me there for a second.
I hit the wrong button.
Oh, that's okay. It sounded, I was like, oh, he started down another road. And he's like, nah, communication error. We played a little game at the end of the show today that was, it was funny. They were like, you know, because everyone's like blaming everybody. And so we went around the room and we all said why it was our fault that the Browns lost. It was my fault because when Ken Carmen walked away from the pregame show, Tyvus Powell, who sits 2 seats away from me, was still sitting 2 seats away. And it's my fault the Browns lost because I didn't tell Tyvus to scoot over so we would look like we were friends. So I got to tell you, bad job out of me, as someone else would say. But I will tell you this, that it was my fault. Daryl, tell me why it was your fault the Browns lost.
Yeah, because I got some heat on Twitter blaming me and I guess my not negativity this time, but apparently I didn't demand people be fired.
Oh, I thought you kind of did that in the post game show.
Well, I demand no, suggest yes. There's a difference. I strenuously suggested that people get fired, but I didn't demand it. There's a difference there, Andy. I think you would agree with me on that.
Yeah, I could just see Peyton Manning, walking into a butcher shop saying, cut that meat. Cut that. Oh, no, that slice is too big. Fire that butcher. Fire that butcher.
So I guess that's why I am to blame, because I am not demanding firings like the Cleveland Browns give to you-know-whats what I think. I mean, even though they listen to like everything I say and read everything I write and stuff like that, but like, I mean, my opinion is valuable to them as like, I don't know, gum on the bottom of a shoe or something. I almost said something else, but
We could in a podcast, but
it's a PG podcast.
All right, anything else we want to hear from here in the first segment before we start getting into some other stuff? And I can't wait to get into this Twitter stuff. I can't wait to tell you what some knucklehead wrote me.
I think we can go here and mention the special teams mess up, right? Not recovery.
You want to do that now or you want to wait? We can make people wait.
Yeah,
for a second.
We can knock this one out right now.
Okay, let's do it now. Daryl says, we're not going to make you wait. Go ahead, Daryl.
We're going to knock this out. Trust me, we got plenty to get to. Special teams, not getting it done, right? My frustration with the job that Mike Prefer has done with his unit is that they don't make impactful plays in the return game. And the attention to detail tends to be lacking on his unit in a regular basis. And here's the thing. I can make that criticism because I watch Mike Prefer in practice, and he does work his team hard in practice. That's the maddening thing. And the same thing goes with the defensive breakdowns, Andy. They do a boatload of situational football in practice. That's why this meltdown is so maddening, and why I have been so difficult on them. But this is what Kevin Stefanski had to say about them not getting the onside kick. And when you watch the replay, you can see that Amari Cooper, as he goes to try and recover the ball, he gets drilled by a New York Jet and knocked out of the way, and the ball back in play closer so that they could recover. Here's what Stefanski had to say about the lack of execution from Mike Prefer's special teams unit.
We got beat, and they did a nice job. They executed on a fake punt. They executed on onside kick. There are things, of course, that we can do better, and we're just going to have to. We just have to find a way in those situations to make a play, find a way to get the ball out of bounds on a kick and those type of things. So it's normal football where they're going to make their fair share of plays, but we got to just continue to put our guys in position to do their job, to put them in position to do the job, and then have our players come through in those moments.
And I have to object to the it's normal football. No, it's not normal football. Yes, your guys should make the plays.
They had a 99.9% chance of winning.
Yeah.
When Chubb went in the end zone. 99.9.
There was nothing normal about that final 250. So, no. As you can tell, I'm still stewing over the incompetence.
All right. I've got some caller, listener incompetence and a theory that just drives me out of my mind. Out of my mind. We're going to talk about that when we come back. It's always Game Day in Cleveland. If you like what you're listening to, download the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. We love having you on board, and we love the fact that you're taking time out because we appreciate you for listening to the podcast. When we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about some of the theories about the game, and then we will kind of look ahead to Pittsburgh at some point. We'll do that, but we're still stuck on Sunday. It's always Game Day in Cleveland. It's always Game Day in Cleveland, brought to you locally by Smiley One Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Bryant and Smiley One, the right choice for your comfort. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin, back for another segment after the Jets game. This isn't the post-game edition. This is our regular edition. And, of course, the Browns lost 31-30 to the Jets on Sunday with an epic meltdown of historic proportions in NFL history. We will look ahead to Pittsburgh, and we will talk about Twitter beef, and we will talk about some stupid theories out there. I'll straight out say they are stupid. All right, let's hop back into this. And obviously, the defensive breakdown is what everyone was talking about after the game. Even though I might have been talking about Cade York a little bit because I was bummed out that he missed it, I was hoping to get another chance. And, you know, there were good things in that game. The problem was the last 2 minutes erase all of the good things. So we'll get to that in a second. And I'm also wondering, I'm going to bring this up a little bit later. Daryl, maybe you have an answer. Why was our multi-talented wide receiver on the all-hands team at the end of the game in a play where he could have got his head busted open?
And you answer that? Didn't actually come up with the football.
And didn't come up with the football, right? Backed off the football.
Yeah.
You got to answer that now, or you want to answer that later?
Yeah.
You don't care?
I.
You can do it.
No. Again, I
just don't understand it. I don't understand it. Like,
yeah. Well, so what actually happened on that play?
Okay, good. Yeah, if you know more than I do, please explain it to me because I'm willing to listen.
Yeah. So here's what happened on the play. As the ball was kicked and
again, hang on. Let's remind everyone. We're talking about the onside kick with Amari Cooper is where the ball went to.
Correct. Okay, so the ball, Amari Cooper was the closest to the ball. So as he went for the ball, Jet safety Will Parks hits him and takes him out of the play. Ball bounces back close. Instead of heading toward the boundary, the ball redirects back toward the field of play.
Correct.
Allowing the Jets to go ahead and recover. So That's actually what happened. As Cooper went for the ball, he got hit by Parks. And so that's ultimately why they didn't come up with it.
Legal, though, right?
100% legal. Absolutely.
Okay, just make sure. Yeah,
sure. I don't think there was anything illegal there. But the reason why he's on the field in that situation, because it's called the hands team, Andy.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem I'm having with it. But I also...
You're not going to put the cornerbacks on the hands team because none of them can catch.
I know. Was he on the hands team in Dallas?
I don't remember. I just know he's on the hands team here in Cleveland.
I don't know. I'm just trying to remember if he was or wasn't. I'll look it up.
You put your best players on the hand. We will respect.
I know. I know. It's not that I'm disagreeing. You got a lot of money invested in him, and I just don't want to get his head busted open on a play where you know exactly what they're doing. But we'll worry about that later. Let's get into the defense.
He caught with that ball, and he couldn't get to it, unfortunately.
You know what I think we're having here, Daryl? I think we're having a communication problem. I think you and I are having a communication problem.
You mean we're having one of these?
Communication error.
Oh, communication error. I'm sorry. Yes. I thought it was a communication problem.
Communication error.
I believe we're having a communication error.
I think there's like a copyright infringement. Remember the captain? What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Ah, I do remember that. All right, you win.
A.K.A. What is that called, Grant Delpit?
Communication error.
Yes. All right. Help me out now. Let's dive into this communication error because guys were talking about it and today. And what do you got?
Here's Denzel Ward.
It's communication wise. So, I mean, in practice, we go through periods where we have crowd noise and where it could be loud if we're playing at home. And
we still can't do our damn job.
I mean, when we're on a defense, a guy gets a call and we got to spread the entire call around to the entire defense so everybody can get on the same page. And just when we're moving fast, I guess everyone didn't get the exact call, so that's what kind of messed things up in the game.
How is that possible? How does not everyone get to say, we're talking about guys in the NFL. If this was CYO football, I would believe that. This is the NFL. How does everybody not know the play? How hard is that? Why don't they go to I heard the morning show say it. I think it's a great idea. We should have the guys on the sideline, the backup quarterbacks or the backup anybody's or anybody that wants to wear a jumpsuit that's different than anything else and hold up the giant signs. Put Daryl's face on there. Put E equals MC squared. Put don't suck on there at the end of a game. How in the hell do they not know and be on the same page that late in the game? You talked about it. We talked about it all the time. Stefanski talks about it. We practice this day in and day out. Every day, are you trying to tell me that they don't practice the two-minute drill? How is everybody not on the same page? That is absolutely mind-blowing.
Communication error.
Oh, okay, then that makes sense.
Let's just put it this way. So this is where we're at, okay? This is how messed up this situation is for the Browns and redonkadiculous that it is. That we, the media, are making suggestions to John Johnson III in the locker room. Hey, how about some hand signals? Do you think that stuff would work for you? Oh, yeah, that sounds like a mighty fine idea. Yeah, maybe we could do that. Like, I'm with you.
You know where that started, right? Tyvis Paul was talking about it because he was in the same defense in Seattle. Tyvis said that they couldn't hear, and so they started using hand signals.
Yeah, it was Kevin Stefanski not playing the blame game.
I'm not going to get into the responsibilities and those type of things because I don't see that as productive.
But it would be productive for us and the fans to know what the hell happened. But that's just me.
Bottom line is that should never happen. We have to be able to defend the pass in those obvious passing situations.
Yet we still can't do it.
And we just got to everybody be on the same page. And it's frustrating that we weren't in that case. And I know it happened previous in week one as well. So those are the type of things we have to get fixed immediately.
Which we said this, by the way, a week ago.
Because that's just when you're in a game like that, everybody knows what they're about to do. It was not a surprise to anybody. So that's the only way we could have let them back in that game. So again, it just goes back to have to correct the correctables.
Which, by the way, they did not do last week. I just want to point that out again.
Hang on. I need to take a moment here. I have to think about things for a second. Let me do a little prayer. Hang on a second. Dear football gods, thank you so much for giving us football 17 weeks a season now. You are the greatest football gods of all time. I'm praying for serenity in football right now. I'm praying for a lot of things when it comes to, you know, your greatness. But the thing I think I'm praying most for and most thankful for, football gods, that my blood pressure hopefully will go down on Thursday, because you have blessed us with a game midweek this week. And so we can get away from this godforsaken loss as quickly as possible. So football gods, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for sending me that. And how about giving me the point spread on some of these games a little ahead of time? That would be very nice. Thank you, football gods.
I'm just praying for competency.
I'm so glad they're playing on Thursday.
Can we just get people that know what the bleep they're doing? Is that like,
I'm confident.
We've been asking for that since 1999. Though this is the problem. And this is why he had such an issue with Myles Garrett and what he said after the game about the fans and that, because like, you have to understand where you're playing. And when it's been cow slop for over two decades, and you know, the most fun Browns fans can have is before they even walk into the stadium. Like, Browns games are not fun for Browns fans. And the organization doesn't understand that either.
At $40 a beer, they better be. No, I don't know how much they are. I've never bought a beer.
Well,
not at the stadium.
I mean, if you read that fan survey that, you know, as the Browns do their stadium long-term planning and stuff, like, it's clear they want people to pay more to go to Browns games. Well, I got news for the Cleveland Browns. If you want more money from your fans, you damn well better put a better product on the field than what you have been since you bought the team. I'm dead serious about that. Like, you can't be wanting to charge all these premium prices and all these premium things that you want from all the other cities and clubs and experiences and all that. Like, I understand business and driving revenue and all that, but you need to justify the revenue with a better product on the field. And stuff that happens Sunday should never happen. It's elementary football that you're unable to execute. Like, I asked Grant Delpit flat out, how do you fix this bleep? And this is what Grant Delpit came up with.
Just make sure we're talking to everybody on the same page and, you know, overemphasizing it.
That's his solution.
Shouldn't that start in OTAs, right? I mean,
100%.
Come on, man. We're week two of the season. You had 6 months to prepare for the first game of the season and to learn how to communicate with each other. I don't know. Should they make cuts earlier? Maybe that'll help so the guys can do a retreat or something. And
I don't know,
make s'mores. How can they not be communicating? I mean, we have a talented group of guys in that defensive backfield. The defense is talented. I mean, it is, we used to laugh in the newsroom that the worst business of communication behind the scenes when you weren't on the air were people in the media and broadcasters. I don't know, man.
What's the inner office joke? Communication is our business, but not our policy.
There you go. Boom. I mean, it's so dysfunctional. And by the way, if you make one play in the last 2 minutes of the game, everybody's happy and no one is bitching.
It's mind-boggling to me. Again, it's the basics of the sport, Andy. It's elementary fundamental stuff. Like we talked about in the post-game podcast, I can live with a physical error. Physical errors are correctable. The just not knowing what the hell you're doing down the stretch and what your responsibilities are, that's all on coaching. And that's why I was so hard on the defensive backs coach, and I'm so hard on Mike Prefer. I like those guys personally. It's not personal. It's your guys don't know what they're doing at a critical moment, and it costs you a football game. And guess what? If we get to late December, early January, and the Browns finish one game out of the playoff race, guess what we're going to be looking back to?
This week.
New York Jets loss.
Oh, I forgot to thank the football gods for letting the entire AFC North lose, too. I forgot to thank them. Thank you.
So, yeah, thank you for allowing the Pittsburgh Steelers to be coming into Cleveland in a foul mood Thursday night. Great.
Because
that's always worked out well for the Browns.
I just want to make sure.
Rodney Dangerfield eye roll.
I'm assuming the football gods are male. I shouldn't say that. Male, female, or whatever gender the football gods want to be. All right, let's do this because I want to talk about this Twitter beef. I've got one more major rant to go on. I'm sure you probably do too. It's always game day in Cleveland. If you like what you're listening to, subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter or Instagram, game day, CLE. Back after this. It's always game day in Cleveland. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. All right. So I have one more rant to go on here. And then I want to talk about the film sleuths and Twitter beef and all that other stuff. Because I think mine is essentially Twitter beef. So I should be telling you about guys like Jared, who reached out to me on Twitter early in our show and said, thanks, Andy, for talking sense. All these other talking heads, I just don't get it. It's a simple offensive job to score points. Defense's job is to stop the other team from scoring. How can you blame Chubb for an epic failure of the defense? Now you get this, and I'm not even telling you this person's name. They just came back and said, Andy Baskin, you're the idiot, Andy. If the head coach tells them not to score and Chubb steps out of bounds at the two, then the game is over. I prefer a guaranteed win than the slightest chance of a loss. The blame isn't on Chubb. It's on the head coach. Well, you are right there with everybody else. I know you're saying you're not blaming Chubb, but you are, because the coach said this today.
You want to do anything that can secure the win. So that is something that's my responsibility to communicate to that huddle. Putting yourself up potentially 14 points inside of 2 minutes, you know, you should close out that game. So I wish I had said that to Nick and Nick would have done it. But it doesn't change the fact that we had plenty of opportunities to win that game.
My point that aggravates me about the Nick Chubb argument is this. He is a running back. Job one in most running back scenarios is to score. When he scored, the Browns had a 99.9% chance of winning. All they needed to do was kick the extra point, and the worst you were looking at is overtime, right, on one big play that happened, or maybe on an onside kick. I just think it's ridiculous that, you know, Nick made an amazing play in Houston last year. Mensa football right there, because I don't think anybody told him to stop running because it gave the Browns an opportunity to round out the game when he stopped at, what, like the 4 or 5 yard line and let the clock run when he took a knee. That was Mensa when he did that against Houston. So he didn't do it in the loss to the Jets, and perhaps if he would have, they would have won the game and just taken a knee over and over and over again. But who the hell blows a 13-point lead with less than 2 minutes? Have you not heard me say this over and over and over again? 99.9% chance they were going to win that game because your running back, who they pay to run the ball into the end zone, did. He did. So if you're on Nick Chubb, you're an idiot. You're a straight-out idiot. Stop watching football. I know it would have been great if they would have told him to stop. I get it. I understand it. But Nick's job is to look at that end zone and get into it. Every running back in the NFL, their job, get to the end zone, especially when you can have a 14-point lead like our team was supposed to. So get over it. I can name 17 other reasons why the Browns didn't win and why they choked. But Nick Chubb is not one of them. Thank you.
To support your assertion, what people have to understand is that when Chubb got inside the five, Jamarcus Joyner, he's a safety for the Jets, tried to arm tackle Chubb, which he kind of juked his way out of. And that momentum, and by the way, the first down marker was at the two. So he's already inside the five, gets an attempted arm tackle that he blows through. And you mean to tell me he's supposed to slam on the brakes at the yard line?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So, yeah. I mean, the running back to criticize is, if you want to criticize one of them, and is Kareem Hunt for allowing himself to be shoved out of bounds twice before that touchdown run.
You want to keep going backwards? How about the fact they lost yardage on the series before when they were in field goal range?
Yeah.
Or at least they were probably in field goal range. So, right?
Yeah.
Want to keep going? Extra point. Want to keep going? The onside kick. There are 100 reasons why the Browns messed up. I am not blaming Nick Chubb. And I think if you're blaming Nick Chubb, you're pointing the finger at the wrong person. It just aggravates me. That guy does, all he does is get into the end zone, bust through tackles, and hand the ball back to the referee. Stop it.
I just counted while you were saying that. I didn't hear a word you said because I was counting.
Oh, my God. Maybe the greatest rant in the history of radio or podcasting.
Oh, well. I'll have to hit the rewind button. So there were, outside of Nick Chubb, there were 9 other reasons in the final 2:15 while the Browns choked that away. So, yeah, get off Nick Chubb's
back. You want another one? Somebody texted me this today, and I didn't. I still want to get to the Twitter beef. I got to find it. Somebody was talking about how every time the Browns used one of their timeouts, something bad happened afterwards. Hang on, I got to find it.
That's beyond fantastic.
Oh, where is it? Somebody, is it here?
Oh, that's great.
Somebody said, I'm not sure. Where is it? I know where it is. Somebody who was...
a friend of the show?
Yeah, a friend of the show, but also, like D1 football kind of player. So let me... I'm not sure if you noticed it. Where is this? Oh, boy. Maybe it wasn't him. It might have been somebody else. All right. If I can't find this in like the next 4 seconds, we're moving forward. Anyway, it was just go back and watch and see what happened on plays after. Is this it?
Honestly, Andy, I'm on to Pittsburgh.
Okay. You are. I'm sure you are. Twitter.
If we're having to go back and watch that bleeping disaster. Yeah, I'm totally on to Pittsburgh because I watched that 6 times Monday. I watched that final 2:15 6 times Monday because I wanted to make sure I had every single detail absolutely correct. And I did.
If this involves me
going back to NFL Plus and watching that game again, I am 100% on to Pittsburgh. And I am also 100% with Kevin Stefanski here in this.
Yes, I do think it's good that we have a game Thursday. I think back to 2020, had a very tough loss in that first game, and then right back at it at home versus the division opponent. So I do think it's beneficial to just get out on the field today, get out on the field tomorrow, and then obviously get under the lights Thursday night. And then, like we mentioned earlier, anything that we need to fix, we got to fix. We don't have time to wait.
So I got to tell you, I am on pins and needles to see what they screw up Thursday night. I'm not going to.
Oh, come on. Think of something positive. Look, they got all, they got one phase out of the 3 phases. Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the offense is good.
I mean, most teams are playing 3-phase football. You know what? I'll even say they played 2 3/4 or 1 3/4.
No, they didn't.
The defense, look, the defense.
Nope.
You're not going there?
Joe Flacco lit their ass on fire all game. 307 yards, 4 touchdowns. No, defense stunk. Sorry.
1 point something? Are you gonna deduct for the interception at the end of the game or no?
No.
Okay, I'm not deducting either. So they got one phase right. Hey.
One out of three ain't bad. Isn't that in a song or something? Hey, I know in baseball, 1 out of 3 gets your butt in the Hall of Fame. That's 300.
All right, what else? Are we Twitter beefing here or what are we doing?
Yeah, let's so Denzel Ward, as we know, got criticized by one of the film sleuths on Twitter who accused him of giving up 100 yards receiving, and so this was his response to the Twitter film sleuths, and then we'll get to his actual response on Twitter, but this is what he had to say to the people that do all the film breakdowns.
It is a little frustrating. People don't know the play call. People don't know what coverage we're in, and we let a guy run free, so it's not on no other person, but like I said, I'll take blame for it or whatever, because we're not all on the same page, so we just got to do better at that and correct those mistakes.
So that is Denzel on the people that do the film breakdowns, which, by the way, I want to say, like, they do a great job with those. I enjoy reading them for entertainment purposes, but I also think sometimes you have to take them with a grain of salt. And the danger you have when doing those is when you start pointing fingers at players for screwing up, but you don't know, to Denzel's point, what the play calls are, what the responsibilities on specific plays are, and things like that. It's a little unfair to be pointing some fingers at some guys and saying that they screwed up. So Denzel Ward responded to the Twitter film sleuth and just basically said, it's hard to say I gave up 100 yards receiving when I was only targeted once. And so he was asked today about taking time out of his busy schedule to respond to somebody on Twitter.
I don't feel that I gave giving up 100 yards and that's not what happened yesterday. So that was more so specifically to that person that tweeted that said that I gave up 100 yards. I don't agree with that statement for me only being targeted one time. But like I said, we all got to get on the same page and make corrections to get the job done next time.
And now time to bring you Andy's Twitter beef of the day.
Daryl.
Yes.
The Nick Chubb thing was my Twitter beef. here's what I'll tell you.
Now, hang on. Here's what we just had, folks. Boom. Here's what we just had, folks.
Communication error.
That's exactly right. We had a communication. That's it. Fire Daryl. That's what I say.
Guilty. Wait a minute. Hang on. Unlike Kevin Stefanski and unlike everybody in the Browns organization, I will point the finger at myself. I totally screwed that up. And this
communication error
is all 100% on me. I wear it.
It's all good. It's all good. Here's
I was too busy stretching so you could find your
I couldn't find
your text thread.
I'm going to go back. You know what? No, I'm not. What am I talking about? I'm not going back to watch and see what happened after every timeout. I could just read it. Why would I want to do that? Daryl.
I do have the game play by play right here. So yeah, if it involves me having to watch anything related to that game again, I would rather scoop my eyeballs out with spoons than watch that again to try and figure out what abomination happened after Kevin Stefanski called a timeout Sunday. So I don't know. Are we down?
We're done. And right. By the way, I'm closing the book on this game until we absolutely have to talk about it. I'm ready for Pittsburgh and we'll do that later in the week, right?
Yeah. Well, so basically, when it's December and the Browns are fighting for their playoffs lives, we'll be talking about this game again, is what you're saying.
Let's hope not. Football gods.
We're into Pittsburgh.
Let's talk about the football gods. We'll do that for 40 minutes next week. All right. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. For our amazing producer, Meredith Kane. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. It's always time to subscribe. Here. It's always error. One more time.
Communication error.
Boom. It's always game day in Cleveland. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast or if you want to talk to us. Hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at Game Day CLE. Good night, Daryl.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Communication error.
Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.